Let's bring in Dan Murphy into the conversation, courtesy of Sportsnet. Dan, what's going on, man? Are you playing any golf today? What are you up to?
I'm actually going to the office to make sure Irv's getting some work done, to be honest with you.
You don't have to go to the office to figure that out, though, do you?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of faith in that, to be honest. But it's the first time in the office for a couple weeks anyway, with some holiday and some tennis in Montreal. And so, yeah.
And how much fun did you have? Because I know you do love tennis, and you do a great job covering it as well. But how much fun is it to do that every year?
It's a blast. It's so much different from the usual day-to-day stuff. I mean, you sit in the chair at about 10 o'clock, and you call four or five consecutive matches, and you get out of the chair at 10. So, being on the secondary court, I tend to get the better matches early in the week because guys are closer in the world rankings. So, getting... Dimitrov and Wawrinka on day one is much better than they have on center court when Nadal is disposing of some Herb 0-1 in 35 minutes. So, yeah, it's a blast. It's great to watch those guys up close. And Montreal is such a fantastic event city. It's a lot of fun.
Was that the best match you got to call?
I would say probably that one, or Wawrinka Gasquet was excellent. Dimitrov, I had him... for one match. It was great. I also had Zverev, who has not been playing his best, but I mean, you get some of these guys that are 5, 6, 7 in the world, and it's just to see them up close and personal was fun.
Yeah, well, we're seeing the height of Canadian tennis at this point, whether it's on the female side or on the men's side, and Felix Auger-Aliassime is now in the top 20, the first time a teenager has been in the top 20 since 2005. So we're seeing the rise of Canadian tennis players. Now, when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks, Dan, well, we all want to see them rise back into the postseason, and it seems like Jim Benning is on more solid footing today. What was your main reaction when you heard that he is getting a 3-year contract extension?
Well, I was a little surprised. I kind of felt like most people that this was a show-me year for Jim. And then if he was going to get an extension, maybe a 1-year deal so you're not dealing with the lame duck questions throughout the season. But I think what it does tell us is that ownership believes in the plan that he's laid out for them, or ownership went into the summer saying, okay, what are you going to do? And Jim said, I'm going to shore up the defense. I'll get a little help at forward and there's a crack at the playoffs. And I guess he fulfilled whatever he told ownership he was going to do. And then he was rewarded. So until he speaks, I guess we won't really know, but I'm getting the sense that's it. They believe in his plan or his vision. And I think we probably knew that a year ago when Trevor Linden and the organization split, that Jim Benning was then the one that was calling the shots and clearly was saying the stuff that Aquilini either wanted to hear or believed in.
We definitely heard about increased optimism within the Canucks organization. And one of the things that I've kind of heard, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is that the research they have done as far as talking to season ticket holders, and they feel like more fans are renewing and there's optimism in the fan base. How much of that plays a part into the faith they have? The fact that they're seeing more and more fans buy tickets for season tickets and also showing more optimism in their surveys?
Well, I mean, it's the main thing for a business is to sell tickets and grow consumer confidence. I mean, I think we get stuck a lot of times on Twitter and even on talk radio where it's a lot of times a more negative feel. We have to remember the people that are actually buying the tickets, that are shelling out the $200, $250 for these seats, they want to see wins. They want to see a team that has a chance to win. And so I think that probably speaks to why renewals are up and people are buying more seats. They feel that this team, for the first time in a while, has a chance to win some games and grab a playoff spot. Now, that doesn't mean that there's not faults with the roster composition. I mean, I think you're a cap team and you're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. That's still a problem. It's, you still have a lot of money tied up in your bottom six. But I think you can at least look at this roster and say now, I don't think they're going to get steamrolled by every team that's above them in the standings, as kind of has been the case with the Vegases and the Sharks and so on in the Pacific Division. So, I think we have to realize there's still problems with the roster, but certainly I think that the team now looks much better than it did when they left in April 6th, whatever the final game was.
you mentioned that, okay, it clears the label of lame duck GM going into a final year, but does it change the equation, this extension of playoffs being the you have to cross that bar?
Well, I don't know. If it's a three-year extension, are you going to want to fire the guy after this year and still have to pay him out 3 years? Like, I mean, until we know the exact details, I guess we can't really comment. But, I mean, if it's a multi-year extension, then I certainly don't think that they're going to let go of him after a year of not making the playoffs. I think that probably he's fulfilled what he promised going into the offseason, and so hence the extension. So, I mean, I think you don't want to have the conversation all year long that, well, if he doesn't have a contract, we know he's done. So anytime he talks, you know, or, you know, if you're not making the playoffs, you feel this is it. I think they want to get that storyline out. Now, if it's a one-year extension, then I think we can probably talk about it. But until we hear the real details of what the contract is, it's tough to really answer that question.
We were just kind of bandying this about, of all the recent transactions Jim Benning has made, basically from last year's draft to now, is there a transaction you feel that he's made that Travis Green likes the most, whether it be JT Miller, Michael Ferlin, Myers, whoever it is, which one stands out to you?
I think for me, I'm guessing the two would stand out would be Miller and Myers. I think that when you talk to Travis Green, the old cliche, want to be tough to play against, can mean many different things, but I really believed he felt like his forward group didn't have enough grit. I mean, you put Ferlin in there as well. I'm sure Travis was in on a lot of these meetings when they were deciding on which players. So I think Travis, you know, I've spoken to him. I know he's extremely happy with the moves that have been made and giving him a better roster to deal with. But I think if I was going to have to pick two, I'd probably say Miller up front because he's so versatile. Travis can play him anywhere, center, wing, kill penalties. He can go on your power play. He plays with some grit. So that, and I think also if he's looking at having a shutdown pair of Myers and Edler, then I think he's going to be happy with the Myers signing as well.
We're in conversation with Dan Murphy here on the Playbook with Satin Bick on Sportsnet 650. And obviously the one key player to this offense next season is going to be Brock Besser. And as much as we're waiting for a contract to be signed at this point, one of the reasons it's dragging on a bit longer too, Dan, is, you know, obviously Brock has other things on his mind as well. So if we're even really realistically looking at a deal getting done, this is probably still something that's a couple weeks away, even if they're talking.
Yeah, and I don't think, listen, I mean, it's obviously contract negotiations can be difficult. I can guarantee you Brock does not want this to go into training camp, especially when his training was cut short last season because of the back injury. He's not going to want to go in and miss camp. And the other thing is the Canucks are not going to want him to miss camp or any significant time because this is not William Nylander last year on a stocked Leafs team. The Canucks need Brock Besser if they're going to chase that playoff spot. And I think that when the deal gets signed, I have no doubt it will. I'm not sure what the parameters are. If it's long-term, I could see a 7x7 type of thing. Then there's going to be tremendous pressure on Brock as well. And I think he realizes that when he signs that deal, to me, I think the player that may have the most pressure going into next season might be Besser, because finally he's going to have the big ticket and he's going to have to produce in the same manner that he has been. I think it will get done. I'm not sure the length or the term, but for the first time in kind of one of these situations, a player with no arbitrates or is not available to be offer sheeted, I think that he has significant leverage considering where the Canucks think they are in terms of a competitive team.
Yeah, if they want to be a playoff team, they'll need him to be on the roster right away. So the longer he holds out, if that happens, the more leverage he gains. You're absolutely right about that. And the other, you know, big item on Jim Benning's agenda is the long-term cap situation for the Canucks. I mean, being compliant for day one's not a big issue. I mean, they can put guys down the minors, get Besser signed, they can figure that out. It's more about the tagging issue for the year afterwards. But realistically speaking, Dan, for them to move anybody off this main roster veteran-wise, probably something that's going to have to wait till training camp or the season to begin, isn't it? Because I don't see a situation where Louis or Sutter even all of a sudden regain a ton of trade value in the next couple of weeks.
No, you're right. And I think that probably if you're looking at one of those two, Sutter's more realistic. I think there's, you know, clearly a little bit of redundancy with Sutter and Jay Beagle and the role they play and where they're slotted in the lineup. But I also know that Travis Green is not very keen on losing a centerman because he wants to be deep down the middle in case there's an injury or a significant injury to one of his top three centers. So, but I think if you're looking at someone that does have money on the books, that's probably a guy you would, or maybe Sven Berchi's a guy you'll have to target that would have some value as well in a way to clear some space. But I could be wrong. I just don't see that happening before camp or into the preseason.
Stan Murphy of Sportsnet with Satya Shah, myself, Vic Nazar here, talking Jim Benning extension. Just really quickly, Murph, what does this mean for the rest of the staff in the organization, the Ian Clarks of the world, who now should they be expecting themselves, now that there's certainty from the top guy, could they see themselves getting some job security as well?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, and the other ones you have to think about, too, are the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Right? Travis Green got 4-year deal, but yeah, the rest of the staff got 3 years. So guys like Nolan Baumgartner are going into the final year of the contract. So there's pressure on the coaching staff as well. Green's got 2 years left, but if this team misses the playoffs, I would say that all bets are off, especially if Benning is indeed only given 1 year as let go. So I think there's still a lot of pressure. And that, you know, not only management, but into the coaching staff, knowing that, you know, it's 2 years left for Green, 1 year's left for the rest. This is time for them to put up or shut up as well, especially considering they feel that the roster gives them a lot more to work with.
Well, and, you know, the players they've added, Dan, have also been players that the coach wanted to some degree. Last year, Roussel and Beagle, the type of players he wanted added, and they've added more players that kind of fit the, what the coach wants to see out of this team. But before we let you get out of here, Dan, I did want to ask you one thing. Are we going to see more updates about Peach throughout the hockey season when you get busy? Because summer Peach has been awesome.
Yeah, I think we can.
Yes.
I mean, she just finished up in Tofino. I'm not sure how many dead things she rolled in on the beach, but she needed a bath yesterday. But I will for sure be giving the updates on her because summertime is, she lives her best. Well, actually, she lives her best life all the time. But I will try to keep the Peach updates going throughout the hockey season, or at least have someone from my family send them to me so I can give them out.
Yeah, I have to rejig my most pressure hierarchy. I have you at number one because you have to give us more Peach content during the Canucks season.
Well, I will do my best.
Hey, always a pleasure, Murph. Enjoy the rest of your day. You're finally working again, and we'll talk again soon, all right?
All right, boys. Take care. Have a nice one.
Sportsnet 650.